Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us in worship today. Our excitement is that the Lord has promised to come
looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Oh Lord, you know my needs and what is the best of my needs. Behold, you have made my needs a new increase. And now, oh Lord, for what do I need? Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Glory be to the Holy Spirit, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and it will be forever. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. To me, my people, and give ears to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to me. My righteousness draws me, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge me. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arms they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth shoulders even pierced, bathing even the garments seen by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from suffering, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the earth. From the fig tree there is us, as soon as it's green, but becomes tender and puts out its leaves. You know this number is here. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is here in the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay away. Therefore, stay away, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. But I say to you, as day is falling, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard God's word, join together to speak in Good morning. So this is just a couple of the options. There's a few those sounds on my phone are supposed to kind of like set the tone for it. So if you're the type of person that's going to be easy to hear today, it's going to be easy for you. Make sure you pick something that's a little bit calm, right? But if you're the type of person that needs to almost be like scared away, maybe you'll pick the food you love. It just kind of depends on what kind of person you are. But if you're somebody who's really sleepy in the morning, you might do something if you have an alarm clock. It's a feature box. Do you know what snooze button is? And what is it? Really sleepy, like every 10 minutes, something that snooze button over and over and over again. And if you're not careful, your ears will get used to hearing that alarm, and you want to have an ear because you keep sleeping and you miss everything. So sometimes the snooze button can be fun to use, but sometimes it can be dangerous to you because you're sleeping for too long. Jesus talks to us in our gospel reading today about sitting awake. Talk about this in a little bit later too. But what Jesus is talking about, he says to stay awake. He doesn't mean like sitting up next to bed. That he's talking about waiting for him to come back at the end of the day. Do you know that we have been waiting as Christians in the church for 2,000 years for Jesus to come back? 2,000 years ago, that's a long time. 2,000 years ago, Jesus promised that he was going to come back and he's going to make all things new. And the church has been waiting and waiting and waiting, and Jesus told us, stay awake. Can you imagine sitting there for 2,000 years next to it? That is a long time to stay awake. And you know what? Some of us in the church get tired because we've been staying awake waiting for Jesus for so long. We get sleepy. We might even start to hit the snooze button. Just kind of fall asleep. We hear the alarm, we wake us up for a minute, and we fall back asleep. We wake up for a minute, and we fall back asleep. This is what our sin does to us. It gets us real sleepy. So that we don't really pay attention to what Jesus is doing, and we might not even stay awake like he told us to. Now, I don't want you to stay awake for 2,000 years. It's not what I'm saying. But we do want to be ready for Jesus whenever he comes. So that means we come to church just like we are today. We hear God's word, we remember his promises to us, and we remember that there is a greater day coming for all of us. A day that's better than any other day we've ever had, because Jesus has won victory on the cross for you, and he promises to come again on the last day to take you home, to be with him forever and ever. And you know what? Once we're all in heaven together, we're never going to get to see you again. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be filled with rest. But we're never going to be tired. What an amazing experience that's going to be. And I can't wait to be there with all of you. So let's say a prayer. And we'll ask God to come to us as we wait for that day to come. We can fold your hands and bow your heads. Let me ask for you. Dear Jesus, we look forward to your return. Awake as we wait for you. In your name we pray. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We've got to sit down today so you can have a little cooperating with all of you. Just wait for me. 2 hours of sleep deprivation, a person generally starts to hallucinate. So you actually start to become crazy if you haven't slept for 3 hours. You start going insane. So don't try this at home. Right? Human beings need sleep. Sleep is good. Sleep is something that God has made for us. We are people who are created. So, given that that's the case, it's interesting that when we read today's gospel, Bible doesn't want us to sleep. In this passage, Jesus tells us to stay awake. In fact, he says it four times. In the last paragraph of this reading, verse 33, keep awake. Verse 34, stay awake. Verse 35, stay awake. Verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Okay, Lord, I hear you loud and clear. Tells his doorkeeper to stay awake while he's gone. And Jesus, again, is using an analogy. He's saying that his disciples, and all of us who are hearing these words 2,000 years later, who are learning from Jesus too, he's saying we are like the doorkeeper. That we are waiting for our master to return, and so we're being told to stay awake. Don't fall asleep until he gets back. Now, I know the reality with a passage like this is filled with such rich imagery. There's like at least four or five different sermons worth of material that we could go through if we really wanted to understand every last thing that Jesus says in this passage. But Jesus tells us to stay awake. So I'm not going to give you five sermons worth of stuff right now. If we want to understand what Jesus is teaching us in Mark chapter 13, and really all of his teaching of the end of the world, we just need to understand that God's people live in two different worlds of the same thing. Or another way to put it, maybe even better way to put it, is to say we exist on two different timelines. So, we certainly have the time that we would call now, but we have also the time that's not yet. So, we have one foot in the present day, and we have one foot in the future, always, as God's people. So, what that means is there is a part of us that does get to sleep. We do get to fall asleep, we do get to rest, the part of us that lays down on our pillow every night and closes our eyes, and maybe we do that more peacefully than anybody else in the rest of the world. It's the part of us that is focused on the future. Because we know in that future timeline that God has everything under control. We know that with certainty. And that's what helps us rest. Even as we see crazy things happen in our lives and all around us, to rest because of the certainty of our eternal future. There's nothing that can harm our souls eternally. We don't have to worry about the monsters that are hiding under our beds or in our closets. We don't have to worry about the devil and all of his demons. Jesus has already defeated them. He has defeated sin and evil by giving up his life for us upon the cross. There's no doubt about that. us that Jesus is speaking to and addressing in this passage, a part of us that lives in the present day right now. Yes, we know that things are all going to turn out okay in the end, but as of right now, November 24th, 10:15 a.m., Jesus has returned. So, we're going to have to watch and wait. We fight to this fight as Christian soldiers. We're engaged actively in this battle against the dark and evil forces of this world, but we don't know how much longer it's going to be. So Jesus even tells us in verse 32, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And that's the mystery. And even Jesus himself did not know when his return will be. And we don't need to worry about that. The scripture, of course, teaches us that Jesus is the all-knowing God in the flesh, but he intentionally limited himself for our sakes. And part of that means that he chose not to know everything at all times, just like it was a part of his life where he didn't know how to speak, didn't know how to walk. Jesus intentionally limited his knowledge to the human. But the point is, because we don't know that day or that hour, we're called to live as we literally could be any minute. We have to stay awake. We can't fall asleep when it comes to the things that God has called his church to do. What has God called his church to do? Equip the saints with the constant spiritual reinforcements, the word, sacrament, ministry that empower us to go out into this world and represent Christ wherever we go as we speak the truth of love, as we strive to love our neighbors as ourselves, as we support one another with our prayers, and even in sacrificial generosity, time, money, or whatever other resources we might have. Jesus has given us a job to do in this community. He's given us a mission, same here in Hoyleton as it is anywhere else, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that the Lord has commanded us. That great commission will stand until the day when the full number of all of God's saints is revealed, the last day, so we can't fall asleep. Too much to say. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and he doesn't take a break. We can't take a break. How does that sound? Exhausting. Doesn't it? Okay. We can be honest with that. It is exhausting. It literally consumes every bit of energy that we have as God's people, and at this point, 2,000 years after Jesus commanded us to stay awake in Mark chapter 13, we are pretty sleep deprived. As a church, forget 48 hours. Forget it's been 11 days. The church hasn't slept since Pentecost. We got all the symptoms of sleep deprivation that you would expect to see. Every once in a while, they pop up. Focus, irritability, brains that focus on self-preservation, we start to turn inward rather than looking outward. There have even been plenty of moments throughout the church's history when people put their plans and say, those people aren't insane. Sinners tend to do crazy things from time to time. Staying awake and being ready for Jesus to return is necessary. It is non-negotiable. But yet, it's not the ultimate goal of our existence for all eternity. Because like I said, God created us to sleep. He created us for ultimate rest. Sleep is a wonderful thing. God made us primarily with sleeping in mind. But the kind of rest that God gives to us is not something happens when you get a good night's sleep. Wake up fresh, ready to go. Remember this description of the kind of rest that you're going to enter into on the last day. Any rest that we get here is a cat nap. It's a poor sleep of the sleep to come. And knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that that rest and that sleep is coming for us someday, that's what allows us to live fully in this time, right here, right now. That's what allows us to sit, to keep our eyes open, to drink our feet, whatever it is we got to do. There is no rest for the blessed now, today. But we're always and ever looking forward to the rest, the eternal rest of our lives. It is the gift of Jesus. Now may the peace of God surpass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in truth and faith. Christ Jesus, help you. calls to hear from all of you 42. Oh, Almighty God, merciful Father, in this present life of sin and suffering, your holy church longs for the return of Christ. Give us grace to make a good confession, and strength to stand firm in the faith, ever watching for his loving and power and glory. Lord, you are merciful. Gracious God, we so strengthen and steadfast in this month that has risen with carries of your church, that in these great latter days, your little flock may be nurtured and built up into the grace of Christ. We call this out of darkness into his marvelous light. Watch over our partners in mission ministry, especially our sister families, Trinity, the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit, and to their pastor, Paul and Peter. Lord, in your mercy. Father, in this season of all things, given, we have so many reasons to return our gratitude to you for all that you have provided to us. Thank you for the harvest. Bless those who continue to work hard to provide for their families and for our community. Bless all who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Henry, Douglas, Austin, Charlie, Aiden, Eugene, Riley, and Carly. Once again, we thank you for the baptism of Eden, both wives, which took place on Sunday afternoon. We ask you to watch over Eden and pray for his faith as he grows. We also rejoice for those who are celebrating weddings in the first week, especially Dennis and Karen Schnicker. Continue to shower your grace upon them and upon all of us, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you glory, Lord of hosts. Your only begotten Son stood before governors and kings and was accused unjustly for your sin. Defend the cause of the weak and those who have no voice in our society, particularly the unborn, the poor, and the homeless. Give the government of our nation the fortitude to serve its citizens and strive for fairness and justice. Provide protection to all who serve in our nation's military, including Michael, Dieter, Brett, Jesse, Kitts, Alex, Isaac, Maddie, Austin, Ford, Joyce, Tampa, Jalen, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. O God, with all creation, we look in eager expectation toward our final redemption and the revelation of your Son. Until that day, sustain those who live under the cross, and in patience, hope, and grant healing and peace. Especially all who are on the prayer list still, including those who care for families, Dorothy, Greta, Eula, Jameis, Julie, Charles, and Beth. We continue to lift you when you report your daughter's care partners for her recent surgery. We also have to continue with those who have ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Don, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Robin, Francis, Tina, Nicole, Christy, Cindy, draw near also to you, the Father, and hold them in the arms of your love and defend them against the final assaults of the evil one. Comfort those who mourn with the hope of the resurrection of the body to eternal life. Give us faith to believe that in such crosses you work all things for our good. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have been in our dwelling place in all generations. Receive our thanks and praise from all those who have died in the faith. Bring us with them to share the splendors of the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray that you remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoice in his victorious resurrection from the dead. We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us, our own high priest. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive first time in the month of November, we came up on, we gather together, friends and for you, the first stage of your bulletin. Correspondent about that. If you have your own points that you'd like to bring that
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.